Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah, I mean, it's his character. Wait, okay, there we go. Yeah, sorry. No, he was it's just, there's fun, stupid characters.
Yeah.
And, it's like he sold his soul to Nagash and, you know, I'm calling for your soul. Yeah. He's like, no, Sigmar. Sigmar.
Yeah, it's an 80s cartoon.
Exactly. And which is really funny because it's come up a couple times. One of my friends, well, Dwayne, he's been reading all the End Time books because he's like obsessed with the End Times right now. He can't believe that they killed off all of the characters, like his favorite characters that he grew up with.
Nice.
And he was saying to me, like,
I don't think they technically killed off Gotrek and Felix. I don't know what happened to them.
I think Gotrek became like the avatar of Grimnar or something like that. Or whatever. I don't know the actual term. I haven't read the End Time books.
I haven't either. So
I've just started going through the Nagash hardcover because I have it. And I've been, you know, and it's basically just like a history of what goes on with the End Times, like a summary of the books. It's pretty interesting. I mean, I'm not going to, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go through all of the End Time books because I'm going through all the Age of Sigmar books right now on audio, and they're great. But yeah, he's giving me all the updates. He's like, you won't believe what happened to this. And, you know, like, you know, they bent over Manfred von Karstein and put a stake through his butthole. And I'm like, okay.
take that, Karstein.
Take that. And it's like, it's and I've been reading, because I read all of the summary of what happened on 1D4chan,
which is
hysterical. Because
it's a great website.
It really is.
It's really funny.
It's funny, but it's also really informative, because they do pretty good like breakdowns of like, this is how you play this army.
Yeah.
Like, don't take this guy.
This guy sucks.
Yeah. Do this guy. Granted, you know, it's who knows who's saying this.
But, sure. I mean, it is a wiki. Yeah. But it's, you know, their tongue is still pretty firmly in their cheek, which is where it should be when you're playing games.
Because if you read their description of Storm of Chaos, the old campaign, they're just like, it's like, why did GW even bother?
No, it's so funny. They talk about how like it was supposed to be chaos wrecking.
Yeah, the Empire,
but the Chaos Army got its shit wrecked when the people report because they were using player data, and like the player data went opposite of the way they wanted the story to go.
Listen, anybody out
chaos
there
got stomped.
if you're involved with a game company or anything, never let the fans make any decisions, period.
Well, it's not decisions. It was player.
It doesn't matter.
Game-based. Legend of the Five Rings successfully did that for a long time.
They did do that, but they also...
Just tournament... Because all they did was the tournament results. And it's like, oh, yep, fucking Crane Clan is now fucking the Shogun.
Emperor, yeah. The Shogun?
The Shogun.
Well, they did do that.
Shogun.
I will give them that. But you know what the thing was that the story was always decided on one event generally, and it was always the grand tournament, and it was the final match
of the year.
And that's
how you should do it.
Yeah.
Collecting like mass data is never going to work out for you.
Especially
if you have something in mind. If they were like we're just going to let the chips fall where they may, but they weren't prepared for the chips to fall where they may.
Yeah. It's like the only person who did anything good in that campaign was Nagash. Oh, not Nagash, Setra.
Yes.
And Setra was like, we're in Araby. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Yeah. The Tomb Kings were doing very well, and they just kind of like, they are not actually part of the story.
Yeah, that was height of 6th edition. I think it was like right towards the end of 6th edition.
Storm of Chaos kind of capped 6th edition.
Yeah.
That was really where it was.
Yeah, they did, because... I'm trying to think, because 7th edition box set was Skull Pass, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, we were just getting through 7th edition right when I ended my tenure with Games Workshop, because I remember Skull Pass box set had just come out like right after I was done working there.
Yeah.
And yeah,
because I switched, and I know because I did an Orc and Goblin army for 7th edition, and they were fucking terrible.
Oh, Orc and Goblins have always been terrible, except in Age of Sigmar. They're decent.
Yeah, they're actually pretty good in Age of Sigmar. And debatably, Goblins were a good list. No, Goblins were a strong list in 6th. You could do a really good Goblin list. Take...
They were all cheap.
8 Bolt Throwers. And then
could you take eight? Or they
could, because they could take twofers.
Choice, yeah.
They were twofers. So you take eight bolt throwers, two goblin doom divers for your rares.
Yeah.
And then all 20 man night goblin units with three fanatics
each. Yep.
That's a good list.
Yeah. Unleash the night goblins. Oh no.
That list is
come back.
That list is very good. The only thing that could really do that could really fuck that up, or like very, there's very few armies that could really fuck it up, but anything
Empire
that could,
Mortar Army could
anything
do it.
That could make something appear near the Night Goblins would fuck it up.
Yeah.
Because if something appeared for any reason, like if it just like teleported, like a Tomb Scorpion, if you have a Tomb Scorpion pop up in next to all the Night Goblin units, they all release their fanatics in random directions. Like, so that's really bad.
Yeah.
But other than that, like it's really hard to get through that, especially if you were like a chaos army or something. Like if you were a melee army, you're dead. Like
you're doomed. You're
dead.
You could take the Hell Cannon. Hell Cannon could do some damage to them.
I think eight bolt throwers would clear it out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Just shoot it. And of course, all of your characters, because you get the double characters, they're all wizards.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got two Lord Wizards, and I think you could take eight Hero Wizards as well, because everything about them was doubled. So you had one, because you had one Lord and four Hero choices in normal points.
At 2,000 points, I think you could take three heroes, one lord.
Okay, so then they could take six heroes and two lords because they're goblins. Yeah. So you get that. That's a lot of power dice.
That is a lot of power dice.
Yeah, that was a very strong 6th edition army, very competitive. But it was very expensive because it ended up actually being a shit ton of models still.
I was going to say in 6th edition it would be expensive. After the 7th edition box that came out, it wouldn't have been that expensive.
Right, because it's really easy to get a shit ton of night goblins.
Yeah. And you should, like, Goblin Bowman.
Bowman. They were pretty good. Standing and shooting with those guys is pretty nasty.
You know, as much as I love ranked combat, it's so much easier now with the circle bases. You don't have to worry. It's like, I have 30 goblins, but only my front row can shoot.
Yeah.
Because of the way that these dumbass historical rules are written.
I think if I were to pen my own block combat rule set,
yeah,
I would strive to make it in the middle of 6th edition and Kings of War as much as possible.
Yeah,
I really like the simplicity of Kings of War, where it's like your unit is this big, it has this many attacks.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be like, all right, well, I've got four guys in this rank.
I lost a guy. I lose my rank bonus.
Right. I like that, but I also don't like the fact that if you really look at it, Kings of War, the blocks don't actually matter. You could play Kings of War with single models.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things I really like. I've been playing Total War, and I mentioned on the last cast, and everyone's like, you're playing it wrong! I'm like, yeah, I know I'm playing it wrong. I'm not a very good video gamer, guys. I'm terrible. Steve will tell you that I'm terrible at video games. Pat B will tell you I'm terrible at video games, with the exception of Marvel vs. Capcom, which I can destroy Pat at. I'm just like...
Did you take him for a ride?
I did.
For a ride.
He was like... He was seriously like... You're really good at this game. I'm like, it's a real button masher of a game. It's real. You don't really have to know what you're doing in Marvel vs. Capcom to do well at it.
Yeah. If you know when to block and when to hit buttons, you'd be fine.
Yeah. But yeah, Total War. I'm getting a little better at it. I watched some YouTube videos that kind of explained how the game works, and I'm like, oh, okay. Because at first I was like, Spearman should be good. I'm like. Then they're like, no, don't take Spearman unless you're going up against this monster. I'm like, oh, okay, Spearman, monsters, check.
All right, very good. Yeah, I remember, because I played Shogun, and I remember that like the game was mostly, it was like a very heavily like RPS between your units. Like, if you wanted to beat, like, you know, cavalry, like, you needed to make sure that you had, like, a Naginata unit or whatever. Like, everything was like that. It's like, your units were very much like, this unit is good against this type of unit. So you couldn't just be, like, all swordsmen, because you'll lose.
I mean, it's very similar to that. I enjoy playing it just because it's, like...
I liked playing it because I was the Shogun.
Yes. Second time Shogun has come up this podcast. No, I enjoy playing it. It's fun.
Sorry, I failed you, Shogun.
You get to shoot like all these crazy, you know, all this fun stuff. It's very much like Warhammer Fantasy. It has that feel, and it's got that RTS feel, where it's like, oh, you know, swordsmen only go up against these guys, great swords only go up against these guys, knights only go, it should be used for this, this, and this. And you get, it's really fun if you could make it work. Like, I was, the introductory battle, it was really fun because you're like, you literally have this tiny Empire army versus this other Empire army, like the rogue secessionists. So you send your guys, your bowmen and your handgunners up on this hill, and they could just like, they rain down death on the unit, and they're coming towards you, and they're like, no! Mm-hmm. And then you send your knights around, and your knights just flank around the side, and you're like, yes! This is what I want!
Sweet.
Take that! And then you just get whomped in every other mission. That's pretty much how I play.
Awesome.
Yeah, I am not good, but I still enjoy playing it because it has that real like fantasy feel to it. It feels like fantasy.
Good.
Yeah. And plus, when you can design your own armies, that's pretty fun too. Because I'm like, I'm gonna play an all steam tank army. Choo choo.
All the stanks.
Yes, which is pretty fun. Yeah, and the only problem is like when you play against the computer's like, I'm just going to min-max everything. So you're going up against...
I am very efficient.
Yeah, you're going up against 20 chosen Chaos Knights, and you're like...
So it's like playing against a German.
Yeah, it's like playing against German, yeah. And it's silly, but anyway, besides that, I have a feeling that we're not going to talk about too many games today. We're talking about games right now. We are. I have very little else to talk about aside from the fact that Firestorm has gone in pre-order for Age of Sigmar, and why are we putting out campaign books already for Age of Sigmar? Like, is the game dead?
No, it's
a campaign book, Steve.
It's Mighty Empires.
It's a campaign. With it, they should not be putting out a campaign book when they still have armies to release.
I'm gonna get it.
What?
I'm gonna get it.
you told me it's not worth getting.
The book thing?
Yeah.
The campaign?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth getting or not. It looks sweet.
I don't know. My contact at Games Workshop, who I've talked to for a while, is all pissed off about it. Because, like, you have these giant box sets that are coming out, like the Free City box sets, which are just repackaging.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why are they releasing these things? These things aren't going to sell. No one's going to buy these. There's no, like, unique, like limited edition models in them.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's going to buy them.
What, are they discounted?
Kinda. But it's even still, it's like, oh, I get discount Empire troops for Age of Sigmar.
Because from what I understood, it was just a it's like a Mighty Empires. It's the replacement to Mighty Empires.
It's not really.
No.
It does have that map campaign system to it, but it's also, it talks more about, it's the book that's going to design to combine all your order armies.
Because when you asked me about Firestorm, I actually thought you were talking about Firestorm Armada.
No.
Who is the, that's why when you asked me, I was like no.
No, they're combining all of the order armies together now, so you could like create your free city with like where your dwarves and your Sigmarites can come together, and they get a special bonus if you do this. So it's just kind of like giving bonuses to mushing your armies together.
I mean, I love map based campaigns, so
yeah, but no one ever follows through on a map based campaign unless you have a store that you go to that is running a map-based campaign with someone who cares about it, with players who care about it. It's a very hard thing. Like, for all of the stars to align like that, it's like once in a... Like, the Aztecs predicted it on their calendar.
It's about as hard as getting a RPG group together, so it's...
It's harder than that, because RPG group, you're like... It's only like five guys, and you get them at your house on a specific day. Yes, that's difficult, but it's not as difficult as getting...
I would do that as a map-based campaign, too. I would just be like, everyone comes together for moves, and then you just play, you know, at the local store.
You'll go to your local game store, and they'll be like, sign up for Firestorm campaign, and then you'll have all these D-bags signing up for
That's the thing. Doing a public campaign is not something I would do.
Yeah, and they won't show up, and the one guy will be like, I can't do it. I thought I could, but I can't.
Yeah, a public campaign is very difficult, but I think that a public RPG is also extremely difficult.
Oh, well, yeah, that is, too.
So, but if I wanted to do it, like, I could be like, hey, you know, Joe, and Joe, I could just get the three Joes and be like, let's meet up once a month for our campaign. We could do that.
Yes, that's true. And you open up the public campaign, and there's like, you'll have like six guys who are willing to do it, and then it just ends up with you and the one guy that you absolutely hate doing work and having to do it together.
I'm ready. That guy's always there. Always on time, and he's ready for everything.
Yeah. He's the guy that, like, if you're running a store, you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ, he's in here. And then, like, the new person walks in, and he's like, hey, what army did you bring?
He just glomps onto them, and you're like, no!
Jeez.
Like, that guy's a potential customer, stop!
Like, what army did you bring, huh? Well, I didn't get...
I've got Necrons.
No, he's the guy that's like, ugh, I didn't bring any of my Sigmar 40K. I only brought my Epic army today because I thought I might be able to get a game of Epic in. Like, why did you think you were going to get a game of Epic in?
Or what's that stupid fucking 40K game that
Inquisitor,
everyone...
Inquisitor?
No, not that. I'm talking like the one that they
Necromunda?
The one that they just released like a couple months ago, that Shadow campaign or whatever it was. It was like kind of like their Necromunda before they said they were going to release Necromunda.
I don't know, bro.
It had all of like it's going to have all the Necromunda rules in it. It's like Shadow campaign, whatever other. And I'm just the guy's like, I brought my Shadow campaign army in. I'm like,
I swear to Christ, every time I go to a Games Workshop store, there's always that one guy that I know is there from open to close.
Yeah,
every
just
fucking day.
Just goobering.
Like, it's like, come on, dude. Come on. It can't. Life isn't that bad, man. Life isn't that bad.
I don't know. It might be.
But the thing is he makes it that way. His life is not that bad. He just makes it that way.
Perhaps he's just a terrible person.
He probably is. But I mean, like, I gotta have faith in humanity. A tiny squeeze of faith in humanity.
You worked at a Games Workshop. How can you have any faith in humanity left?
It's true. It's true. We're also living in the end times, so I don't have any faith left.
See?
have you been following what's been going on with the world of professional sports ball?
No,
it makes me it's hysterical seeing these people get all upset because people aren't standing for the national anthem.
Oh yeah, that
and people are getting upset about it. And they're disrespecting their flag as they're sitting there in their tiny shorts that are made of the American flag. You know, wearing their American flag hat and you know having a Confederate flag on their truck. It's like they're getting mad about that. It's like, yeah, you don't really get irony, do you?
Yeah, I mean, also if you want to like,
my wife ironies the clothes.
If you want to take it to fucking brass tacks, what the fuck does the national anthem have to do with sports?
Exactly.
Why is it being played at sports games?
Yeah, you have to think back to it. Like, as insane as all the rules are for professional sports, like you can. There was something on Reddit about cricket the other day, and I think cricket is the most insane game ever.
Is cricket the one where you're running on the field with paddles and you have to like hit balls in? It's like croquet, sort of.
No, I don't think with the wickets, the sticky wickets.
Sticky wickets.
No, but you do have the cricket bat, which is the big flat bat.
Yeah,
and there's like they're super professional. It's crazy.
I don't know. Cricket's like baseball.
Yeah, it's like baseball,
right.
But it's
the weirdest
baseball.
I saw someone playing a cricket video game. They were like, let's play cricket, yay. And like I'm watching them play it and they're like they have no idea how to play it and they're like, what is happening?
I don't think it's any dumber than any American sport. Yeah,
but visually, like with American sports, you can tell that they're done for dumb people.
Yeah,
because it's like this ball go there and you're like, okay, got it.
And that's why people get really upset about the infield fly rule. They're like, my brain cannon.
Like, watching baseball is pretty fucking simple. Like, this dude throws a ball, dude with stick hits ball,
needs to
get bases.
You need to run around in a circle.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's pretty fucking clear.
Without being touched by the ball.
Yeah, no, the ball can't touch you. You need to get the ball away from you. And then the ball, and people try and bring the ball back to you. You don't want that.
Exactly.
Basketball.
I just made $44.
Basketball, also very simple.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
team
ball
with
hoop.
Ball, throwing hoop. Cricket is a fucking nightmare, non-Euclidean, Lovecraftian thing that's just like an entity. You're watching, you're like, what happened? He's like some dudes running between two sticks. There's like the guy with a flat bat, and there's like a weird pitch thing where like the guy like runs
and
you gotta
hit the ball, but don't hit the ball too hard.
Right. Because it has to go to a specific area.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I was talking. Oh yeah, with the you know how it all evolves over time. Like generally you know that a caveman was sitting around with a stick and another caveman was sitting there with a rock and the guy threw the rock and the one guy hit it with the stick and he's like, hold on a second here, Grog. We got something. We have something here. And they eventually evolved into baseball. Same thing with football or football.
Football.
Football or American football.
Where football it's like, de Americano.
Where it's like, we have to get this ball from here to here, and these people have to stop us. One of them is like, we have all these stupid rules about it, and the other one is like, the only rule is you can't use your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, whatever, have you. But someone around the time of the evolving had to say, wait, we can't do this unless we sing the national anthem first. Like, what? Why? Because this is an American sport, but we have Canadian teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I watch these people get all upset about it, and I'm just like, you people are the same ones who have like the, you know, like take the gun from my cold dead hands. But yet at the same time, they have the Blue Lives Matter.
The police flag. They're the ones who are going to take the guns from your cold dead hands. They're trying to freedom wrong.
Freedom wrong. Let freedom wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird time here in America. It's bizarre. I can make these brazen comments behind the microphone, because if I met any of these people in real life, I'd be like, "Don't hurt me, please. I have a broken back."
I don't know. Most of them super upset about the national anthem. You could probably briskly walk away, even with your injury. You could probably briskly walk away from their freedom scooter. Yeah. Well, I think you'd be okay.
I'm doing pretty well. I'm completely off the narcotics and opioids at this point. Have you ever been on opioids, Steve?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, I mean, even then, you haven't been on for long enough to like really be like have your body go through detoxing. You know what they don't tell you?
I quit smoking. That was the most.
I did too. So I can make the comparison between the two. You ever have the compulsion to shit every 2 hours? That's what it's like.
That's just every day.
That's what it's like quitting opioids. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, again? I should know this because I watched Trainspotting that you're going to shit your pants.
That's just normal for me.
Well, that's because you're on that like no fat, you know, all protein diet. You're just going to be shitting like crazy.
The high fat diet, I fire it out.
Yeah, you have no you don't have enough fiber going through your body to
actually eat a fuck ton of fiber.
Oh yeah, well maybe that's why you're not pooping as much. I'm sitting there like I'm like sweating. I'm like literally going through like a heroin withdrawal, and I'm like, oh, why are my arms so itchy? Why is everything so itchy? Why do my legs not want to stop moving? What is going on? And I'm only on like seriously at tops I was taking about 10 milligrams of Norco. Which is nothing a day. Like that's like a pill.
Well, now you have firsthand experience why there's a massive opioid epidemic.
Well, I was looking it up because I was like, oh man, how long is this withdrawal going to last? I mean, I've been legit. So like the last week, I was on 2.5 milligrams, which is half a pill a day, just to stave off the shakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm completely off for about 72 hours, and I'm sitting there like, how long is this going to last? This is insane. And the person's sitting there like, you know, opioid withdrawal usually ends after 3 weeks. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, 3 weeks of this? And he's like, I was taking 10 pills a day. I'm like, oh, well, you're a lot worse off than I was. I'm not quite as worried about this. But I can't paint. I can't sit still for long enough. I feel like I'm on, like, going insane.
Mm.
Yeah. So I have not had any painting done in the last like week and a half just because of the shakes and the sweats all that fun
and the
stuff.
Shits
and the shits. Oh my God, the shits! I don't think I've ever shat that much in my life. Even when I was like on the worst diets ever, I don't think I've ever shat this much in my life. Ugh.
Well, I mean, hey, Roto-Rooter.
it's cleared me out because I don't even digest my food anymore. It comes out
exactly. Actually poop out a cheeseburger. It's like in perfect condition.
It's kind of what it looks like. I'm not gonna lie.
It's like I pooped out a cheeseburger. The bun's there.
It's like I don't digest any vegetable matter anymore. Seriously, it's like it comes. I like if I eat a salad, I poop out a salad. Anyway,
that's good.
That's great. What else do we got to talk about today, game wise?
I've been painting these Nurgle boys.
Well, you've been painting those Nurgle boys forever. When are you gonna finish them?
I don't know. I haven't been working on them, to be honest. Like I got them to this point like really fast, and then like they've just been sitting.
Yeah, I was gonna say they haven't really changed much in the last.
I've been doing other shit.
4 weeks, I can think.
Been
of.
Doing other things.
Yeah, Cole's been working like a maniac on these guys. Like a machine.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, there's a lot of progress being made.
Yeah.
Orc boys, sorted golden boys.
The golden boys.
There's a fully assembled and primed Caradron Overlord's army.
Caradon. Cahadron.
I don't know how to say it.
Stupid.
It's stupid. Steampunk dwarves. They're sweet.
Stupid names.
They're really cool looking.
You know what I got to say, though, with the changeover? It makes eBay searching a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because like you used to be able to like type in dwarf Warhammer dwarf and you get like a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, and you get stuff that's not Warhammer dwarves.
Yeah. So now if you type in like Seraphon, it's like you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So yeah, you got to give them some positive things.
There are it's not a universally negative thing.
No. So, it's getting to the Halloween season. Have you been doing anything Halloween-y?
No.
No.
No, we used to do Halloween parties, but we haven't done them in a long time. But that was like one, that was our big party of the year. We would have a Halloween party and like people come over, but we haven't done one in quite some time.
No, we're I've been reading Lovecraft, going back and redoing all the Lovecraft on audiobook because it's been forever since I'm doing the whole catalog, the whole Lovecraft catalog. I got to say, I think I figured out why Lovecraft never really like achieved like the high ranks of literary genius that some people get. I mean, like Lovecraft, you gotta hand it to him. It's pretty impressive.
You mean like while he was alive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he never had interest. His stories start off all start off the worst way possible. Like none of his opening lines ever grab you. They're always like, one time as I was going through a book and reading about the.
Right.
You know, reading the plays of Edwin Blake, I have to say that I came. You're just like, oh my god, this is fucking terrible.
I don't know. I like the books aren't like super. Like I don't want to say they're poorly written because they're not.
They're not. No.
But they're not like exceptionally written. But what they are is very interesting. Like the world building is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And then like the weirdness is definitely there. Although I do feel Pickman's model is just a fantastic story. Like
yeah.
I think it's written really well. I think that it's actually got the way it flows is really good. Like at
what
the end you're like, oh shit.
What was the scale of Pickman's model? 1/35th?
I think it was 25mm.
like how you got that and you're like, ah.
It was 25mm.
That's a dumb joke.
It's good.
Yeah.
Because I think at the end, like when he thinks it's a painting, when he looks and he thinks it's another painting, but it's not a painting, it's actually the thing. Like it's like, oh shit.
Oh!
Like the way that's the way that scene is written is brilliant. Like you are as surprised as the character when you're reading that.
I liked when I was going through it again, I really like Rats in the Walls. Just because I like saying rats in the walls, but there's a, you know, I like the idea of like, it's such a stupid, like shocking ending where they go down like underneath the altar and it's a whole like cavernous civilization where they were breeding humans to eat and everything like that. And his family was aware of it. It's like, it's such like a stupid thing, but I was like, oh, that's fun. It's just like kind of out of nowhere. And then there's the one where they do the mind switch, where the guy like the ancient aliens mind switch with the guy in the 20th century, and he's like he lives this whole like 3 or 4 years in the body of the conical beings who are like they're cone shaped with like tentacles coming out of their head.
There's the one
I think
where,
it's like crawling terror. Or
there's the other
like
one which is the where the guy is like people are running from him in terror, and he's actually a flying polyp. Or something. There's like his like consciousness are like he doesn't understand he's a monster. Like people are running from him. I can't remember what it is.
Well, there's The Outsider, which is
I think that might be it. Oh no, he's dead, right?
Well, the Outsider is like he's kind of like a ghoul,
right?
Yeah,
and they're running from him because he's all rotted.
Yeah,
and he's like trying to like get like call his wife and shit.
Yeah, oh yeah, something like that. But the
I don't know. It's been a while. It's been a long while. And like Lovecraft's books are written like you know he's fucking old as shit. So like it's hard to remember. A lot of like his verbiage and stuff.
Oh yeah.
His way he writes, because he was in the early, you know.
Yeah, he wrote in the 1930s.
Yeah, 1930s. So like, the language he uses is like not normal. Like, because it's normal for then. So it's harder to remember.
It's not even normal for then, because I mean, he was writing in the 1930s, but he was stealing Poe's style. Like especially his early works, like The Outsider was one early work. It's almost identical in prose to. Mask of the Red Death or Cask of Amontillado.
Okay, yeah.
It's
hard
like
to remember those things.
Yeah.
Like
as he gets a little later, like once you hit like Call of Cthulhu era, which is kind of his later writing,
yeah,
like
that's
36.
Easy.
It gets a little easier to read.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's when he became more closer friends with Robert E. Howard.
Yeah, I swear to God, I would punch that skinny ass Lovecraft. Like I'm from New England. Don't hit me. Kind of. By the way, I love when you go back and read the books, like the Color from Outer Space, the Color of Space, or whatever it's called, and they're all like have these New England accents where it's like, in my mind, I go to either two places. I either go to there's a storm a coming there, ma. it's like
why does he sound like Jimmy Stewart?
Well, that's kind of like my New England like old farmer like not as bad as the Squall of 1946, 1906.
Oh, you don't want to go down that road. Yeah, that's a dangerous road.
That's, oh, there's a color from outer space down that road.
Flying polyp down that road.
Polyps. Had some polyps in my colon. Looked nothing like it. It's either that or you have the thick Boston accent. It's like, what are you looking at?
Maryland. Yeah, I mean, and Poe is also, you know, massively racist. There's that.
Well, I mean, so is Lovecraft. But, I mean, it's like...
I'm not Poe. I meant to say Lovecraft. Yeah, I know. Poe was probably massively racist. I don't think
he was a white guy in the late 1800s.
Yeah, I don't think
he
wrote a line about a Negro egg, though.
Yeah.
that was Lovecraft.
Oh, Lovecraft. Yeah, he was pretty bad. Which is actually...
Like, when you read it in context, you're like, ooh. But when you think, like, reading it now, it's just kind of like...
Well, it's so funny that, you know, with Lovecraft... There's a book that just came out. I don't know if I talk about it on this podcast or not, but it's called Lovecraft Country. Fantastic book. I got about halfway through it. I'm still, yeah, I put it down. I'm going to get back to it in a little bit. But it's about an African-American soldier who comes back from World War One and drives up, or is it World War Two? It's World War Two, because he drives back up to Chicago from the South, and, you know, he's assaulted by police officers, and he finds out his father's missing, and he's been abducted by a Lovecraftian cult in the Northeast. Because the whole thing is that this guy who was served in World War II was like a huge reader, and he was a big fan of Lovecraft, and his dad always got mad at him because he was like, Lovecraft's a huge racist and everything else like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's him traveling to Arkham, Massachusetts to get his dad back.
Oh, that's sweet.
And they're making a TV show of it. The guy from Key and Peele who did Get Out is doing it.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, I'm like really excited to see it because I'm like, this could be great. And then I found out the author of the book is this white guy who kind of looks like me, and I'm like, oh, fuck that guy. Oh, shit.
It's Peele, by the way.
I can never remember which one's
Keegan,
which.
Keegan-Michael Key is the taller,
baller
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Peele is, Jordan Peele is the shorter one with hair.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hard enough time telling Laurel and Hardy apart, so.
Hardy is the fat one.
Yeah, see, it's like I can never tell the difference.
There's Hardy, Hardy's.
Oh.
See?
That's a good mnemonic device. Yeah. I like that. But yeah, it's like, so to do the Lovecraft thing.
William, I'm steampunk now.
The fucking rat comes out of his hat.
It's all whimsical and shit.
Rat comes out of your goddamn hat.
Steampunk.
I fucking love Key and Peele.
Key and Peele's great.
Also, Get Out was a really good movie.
It was a very good movie. But that makes me... What I don't understand is how come no studio has created... You know, because they're always trying to make these universes, these interconnected universes. How come they haven't done Lovecraft yet? Because all of the stories do intertwine. There's a built-in mythology to it and everything. You can do Lovecraft TV wise and have it intertwined. I mean, even if you did it as an anthology show, kind of a la
Tales from the Crypt
or The Outer Limits, you could have them intertwined with their story and the mythology.
Sure. The Outer Limits reboot did it intertwined with itself, which is pretty good.
They would do like three or four different storylines, but that's the mid-90s one, because there was a later one that some people might think.
Yeah, the Outer Limits reboot was really good. There was an episode where a scientist made a super intelligent like insect colony.
Oh, yeah, no, they didn't make the insect count. He found them outside because they were aliens. Those are the sand kings,
yeah,
I think is
and
what
like,
it's called.
They show up in multiple
episodes. Yeah.
Like, that was...
It was Beau Bridges.
I thought that was super cool. Like, yeah. I was like, because that was definitely in a time before there was a lot of linked media.
Yeah.
I think now there's kind of like I would say the reason you wouldn't be going to Lovecraft Universe right now is because they're already like... The major studios are balls deep in their superhero universes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, except Universal, which tried to do it with their monster universe. Have you watched The Mummy? It's fucking terrible.
The Tom Cruise Mummy?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they tried to do... I heard I Frankenstein is bad, too.
I Frankenstein is terrible. The Mummy is terrible.
Is I Frankenstein just straight terrible, or is it like...
No, it's straight up terrible. I mean, like, you might be able to... Because,
like, Van Helsing is a bad movie, but I liked Van Helsing.
Van Helsing is way too long for what it is. But it's Stephen Sommers who directed it, which you can't really be mad at because he's the guy that did The Mummy, and the original Mummy is a fantastic movie.
I liked Van Helsing. Like I said, I don't think Van Helsing is a good movie, but I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I'm very critical about a lot of things, but I don't think Van Helsing is that bad.
Okay.
Mainly because I think Stephen Sommers is a very tongue-in-cheek director, and I think, you know, like what's his face? The guy who did Starship Troopers. Verhoeven. Like, people don't get Verhoeven. So you have to kind of like...
How can you not get the man who made RoboCop?
Some people don't. But yeah, the...
I fucking love RoboCop.
I Frankenstein, the Dracula Unborn or whatever that was, the one with the guy from The Hobbit, that one was terrible. Like, Universal's got to stop. Universal can do it, but they have to just stop trying to make them interconnected, like this universe, whatever. But I think they could do that with Lovecraft. Oh, by the way, the one that I really like from The Outer Limits was there was the whole, like, intergalactic war between humans and, like, the reptile aliens, and there was a bunch of different episodes about that. But the one that I remember was... I think it was with, was it Lieutenant Dan? Was Gary Sinise in that one, or was it Robert Patrick? It was one of the two.
I don't know.
But anyway, he...
probably Robert Patrick.
That he was woken up from his cryogenic sleep, and they're about, like, their whole thing is they're going to nuke the alien planet from orbit. They're going to destroy it. And it's Robert Patrick and someone else. They're arguing back and forth about whether or not to do it. And then the one guy convinces Robert Patrick that he's got to do it. And like, the key to the nuclear explosion is, like, his eye. So he's got to, like, stick his eye into this, like, spike to get it to go. But it turns out that he's nuking Earth. Like, the aliens were fooling him the entire time.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Oh, man. These aliens, they're...
I think they did a redo of the Zindi Misfits, too.
I don't know that one. The Zindi.
The Zindi Misfits. Zindi? It's Zindi or Zandi Misfits?
The Zindi are from Star Trek.
Let me see. Hang on. Zandri Misfits? Hang on.
I don't know.
I'm going to find out. Zandi?
Zandi?
Maybe. Let's see.
I don't know. Are those the cat people?
No.
Cat people!
They're really fucking creepy. They're from the original Zandi Misfits.
X-A-N-D-I.
Zanti. I'm sorry.
Zanti.
The Zanti. Z-A-N-T-I. Because
I was going to say the Zindi were from Enterprise.
Yeah, Zanti Misfits. They're from the original Outer Limits, and I believe they were there was a remake done, or they were used again. But it's really good. The Zanti...
You have a poop beetle.
Yeah. He's a... Well, that's not a poop beetle, but yes.
It's a poop beetle.
The scarabs don't. Scarabs don't have jaw configurations like that.
Beetle.
It's not quite. Almost though. Actually, it's kind of. I have to look. No, scarabs are horizontal. They're pincers. So let me see if I can find a picture of them. they're these big ant things, and they have they're stop motion, and they're fucking creepy as shit looking. They freaked me out when I was a kid. There.
Oh yeah. Those are the Sand Kings. Those are the exact same things.
So the Zanti Misfits are it's an original episode of the original Outer Limits, and they appear on Earth, and they're like really weird, and like people are getting attacked by them, and then they come out of their like little UFO, and humanity like murders them all.
Yeah.
And this alien council contacts humanity, and they're like, we don't believe in execution, but you guys are horrible barbarians, so we put the Zanti Misfits here as a test to do two things. One, we needed to remove the Zanti Misfits from planetary society, and two, to see if you would be willing to murder them. Now that we know that, we're going to cut you off.
There you go. It's insane. By the way, have you been watching? I don't know if you have Hulu.
Yeah, there you go. They explained they were incapable of executing members of their own species, so they sent them to the hands of a race who possessed no qualms about killing, the human race, and they referred to us as practiced executioners.
Nice. So that sounds very Rod Serling-esque.
Yeah, it was my favorite Outer Limits episode.
Is he sitting there smoking, going like the Zanti Misfits?
Submitted for your approval. I fucking love Rob Serling.
Do you have Hulu?
Yeah.
Have you been watching The Orville?
No.
It's fucking fantastic.
Is it good?
Some people really hate it, but I have a feeling...
I'm not usually a fan of like Seth MacFarlane and stuff.
Yeah.
Just in general.
I find that the humor element... It's like, take Next Generation and just add in some humor to it. Like, more than like... what Gene Roddenberry considered humor, like very early Next Gen stuff, and you have The Orville. I mean, it's not everybody, like the humor in it's like a lot of like poopy and pot humor.
I assume it's Seth MacFarlane jokes, so.
It's not like Family Guy
okay.
at all. But they, like the last episode, they did a whole like Measure of a Man, what the hell episode? It's the one with the where they have the single gender species that Riker like makes out with.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's that episode. It's like they combine Measure of a Man and that episode together, and they have making a whole episode of it. And I'm like watching, going like, I'm watching Next Generation. It's like, and I think people hate it because of McFarlane's humor that he injects into it, which is I actually think McFarlane's character is like the least like funny out of all of them. But they have like the two pilots who pilot the ship have this funny banter back and forth, and so they go the whole last episode is that the like I can't remember if he's the security officer or not. He's not, because there's a girl as the security officer. He's like something or other, but it's a single gendered species, and they're all male.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a daughter with his mate that's female, and so they want to have the female get a sex change so that it fits into the male society.
Mm-hmm.
Standard sci-fi stuff. I mean, like, how many books do this kind of utilitarian, sure, you know, moral quandary sci-fi stuff? And it's so in order to get him to understand that, you know, maybe it's not necessarily a bad thing, because it's blah, blah, blah. It's this whole thing that we can go over that's been gone over 1,000 times in sci-fi. But they, in order to get him to accept that, you know, maybe the genetic mutation is a good thing, maybe it'll be some positives to it, they have him watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And the alien's like, this has changed my mind. I must tell my life mate about the story of Rudolph, the saga of Rudolph. And it's very, you know, that's Star Trek right there.
Yeah.
And but he's like, stay here with the baby while I go find him. And they're sitting there like they were all drinking. He's like, man, he just left his baby with two drunk guys. And the one guy goes, reminds me of my father. I'm just like, that's funny. That's quality. People should like, I honestly think that when the critics were being very harsh to it, I think that they were expecting it to be like Family Guy, and since it wasn't like Family Guy,
don't the critics hate Family Guy?
They do, and that's why I'm saying they wanted it to be like Family Guy. So I don't even think they watched it, and they just wrote up like this thing that's saying like it's not, you know, the humor doesn't work and blah blah blah. I'm like, first of all, if you've ever watched Next Generation, this show is completely the same thing as Next Generation, just with some comedy to it. So it's like almost to the point where I'm like watching it, going, man, if they don't get sued by Universal. There's something weird going. Paramount, yeah, because like, my God, this is almost identical to what's going on with Trek.
I watched the thing I've watched most recently is the first three episodes of Neo Yokio.
Oh, I saw that on Netflix.
It's so fucking funny. It's like the weird. It is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen. It's an anime made by Netflix, starring Jaden Smith, and it is really weird.
Jaden Smith is doing it?
Jaden Smith is the main character.
Wait, how could we see if our eyes are not real?
It's like someone's like, I'm gonna make an anime that's about Jaden Smith's tweets.
Ooh.
It's so random. Like he's like, I heard she was feeling down. I'm gonna go get her a big Toblerone. And then like he's like knocking on her door, and he's a gigantic Toblerone. And he's like, hey, are you in? I brought you a big Toblerone. And then, like, it's so weird.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I found it to be very funny. It's just like it's so odd, and like, because Jaden Smith is like terrible, like he's awful, whoever wrote this, they wrote it for him, because when he's delivering the lines and like the way he talks, everything he does is perfect.
Yeah, I think we're a little unfair to Jaden Smith, mainly just because like, when we were all 15, we said some stupid ass shit.
No, I meant like he's bad at like voice acting.
Oh yeah,
like he doesn't have the like. He's very monotone. Yeah. Like he doesn't. But like they wrote his character with that in mind. So when he delivers his lines, it's funnier because of how Jaden Smith is delivering the line. So like there's a part where he like shows up like at the last minute to save them at like the rugby game, and he's like, let me call all you guys in for a huddle, and they're like going in. He's like, as you all know, I've been depressed lately, and I just wanted to let you know. it's so funny. Like it's great. Like I was completely taken aback by how much I enjoyed it, because it looked terrible. Like the preview, I was like, oh, that looks bad. So I was like, hate. I was gonna hate watch it. And like after the third episode, I'm just like, ooh, I actually really like this show.
That's why I told our listeners on the Facebook page about how I'm mad that they didn't tell me about Toast of London. Like how I had to wait like 3 years after it debuted to find out about this wonderful, wonderful show.
What is it?
You've watched the IT Crowd, right?
I am aware of what the IT Crowd is.
Okay. It's Matthew Berry, who played not Richmond. He's one of the characters on there, but he talks like this throughout the entire thing. The guy, like the narrator from the Age of Sigmar audiobooks. He sounds just like that. So imagine like the narrator from the Age of Sigmar audiobooks like mispronouncing words on purpose. Yeah.
Okay.
He brought out his weapon, and it's like that. He's like the stage music, the stage performer, like just an actor in London, and just getting into like really stupid like situations. Mm-hmm. Hysterical. I think it's honestly one of the funnier British shows I've ever watched. It's very much in the vein of IT Crowd. But it's a little more on the insane side. All these British, it's full of British references too, which I don't get a lot of them, but I get the spirit behind them, so I laugh.
Okay.
But yeah. So I'm very mad at you British listeners for not telling me about Toast of London. But one did say properly that Matthew Barry is a British institution. And I agree with that. What else? I'm trying to go through like all the topics that I wanted to talk about that were not gaming related. I think I've hit almost all of them. We should talk about some game stuff, shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, you want to do a TGN review?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Oh no, not the Fappening. I don't care about that. Okay. Tabletop gaming news. Let's see what we got going on here. What Kickstarter is going on right now that we cannot care about? New heavy artillery pieces for Beyond the Gates of Antares available.
Beyond the Gates of Antares.
I can't believe that game is still around. It has not failed miserably.
It's kind of surprising.
Yeah, for the expense that it is. I don't know. Warlord is a... what's it called? Bolt Action has stumbled completely. It's like the Bolt Action train has stopped. There's a cow on the tracks. It's not moving that cow. That train is not going anywhere. There hasn't been any major releases for it. The community's kind of stalled a little bit in the Chicagoland area, which I'm not saying that that's necessarily true for around the world, but I have seen a slowdown in like internet group traffic and things like that. So I think part of the reason is just that they've released all the major armies for World War II. There's a limited amount of armies you can have for World War II. There's not much you could do anymore, so everybody's got what they kind of wanted, and if they're playing, but I don't think it's going anywhere.
They'll have to add something new, like the Peruvians or something.
Ooh, the Brazilians did fight in World War II.
You add the Peruvians, and they've got jump packs.
Ah, oh, Peruvian jump pack troopers.
See,
now you're talking. Now you're
hire me, Warlord.
You can work for K-47 because that game is bullshit.
Don't even know what that is.
That's the Conflict 47. It's the like we gave mech troopers and walker tanks into World War II.
We talked about
it before and about how much I hate it. It's part of the reason though that I'm probably going to be able to sell my dust to stuff for a decent amount of money.
Hey, worked out.
That's actually last time we talked about it. When Spartan went under, I sold all of my Dystopian War stuff. Mm-hmm. And actually, it made a decent amount of money off of it. I think I made like $150 off of it.
Hey, it works.
I haven't sold my Dystopian Legion stuff, though. Nobody wanted to buy that. So. I was charging a little bit high for it, but it's all painted. I'm not one of those guys that like...
It's tough to sell painted stuff if it's not Workshop, though. I've noticed that. It's tough to sell painted stuff at a good value when you're talking not Workshop.
Yeah, or Privateer Press. I think that stuff goes for a decent amount still.
Yeah. Well, maybe not now.
Well, maybe not now, but Privateer, dead in the water, by the way, as I like to say. Because the next thing actually is Privateer Press, the release for the new Grimkin releases. You like the Grimkin stuff.
I like... So Grimkin are a mix of models that I absolutely hate, like passionately, and models that I think are fucking sweet. Like the werewolf thing that has the three faces coming out of his mouth.
The nightmare?
Yeah, that thing's rad.
That thing's amazing.
The big chain golem who got like the rack on his back with the big cages.
See, I don't like that
one. I think that guy's awesome as well, but like... The dude sitting on the mushroom, that guy's fucking stupid. Like the pig rider guys, like those guys are really stupid. So it's like I would never play the army ever in a million years because there's too much stuff I hate. But I'd say that like the amount I really like the models I like is actually inverted by the by how much hatred I have for the models I hate.
I love the nightmare, though, because it's like, what if we have a horse with a guy's head coming out of the horse? I'm like, yeah. What if there's another head coming out of the guy's head? Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking cool.
It's fucking amazing. Cities of Splendor expansion now available. Who cares? Oh, no. God damn it.
Yeah, I like the big spooky tree. The big spooky tree is really cool. The Trapperkin's really cool. It's like a goblin that's got a he's got two parts. He's got like a trap door that he pops out of, like obviously. But yeah, I like that guy. He's cool. I think most of their characters are fine because they're just like a dude. Like,
I think Privateer Press should just go whole hog and make a super racist army. Like something that's just like,
do you think that would save their company?
It's just something that's like obscenely racist in one way or another. I mean, that's not saying much because, like, you know, most
Wild West Exodus tried that and it didn't work.
That's true. I'm sorry. So that, you know what though? That's, you know why the Wild West Exodus didn't go? Because it didn't go far enough. They went to that point where you're like,
you're really trying. Do you really think they should cater to the Trump crowd?
You know, but that's the reason why it didn't work is because they didn't go racist enough. Like the Trump crowd was like, this is fine, but I really, really wish it was more racist. And there you go, and that's the reason. I was going to say, like, it doesn't really work because most historical games are pretty racist in and of themselves.
Yeah. War Beasts. I like all of their War Beasts.
They're War Beasts?
Yeah, the Grimkin War Beasts.
Okay, so new Legio Custodes Aquilon Terminators with Infernus Fire Pikes available to order from Forge World.
Those guys are cool looking.
I understand some of those words, Steve.
You know what? All you need to know is that they're pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I guess.
And call it a day.
I assume so. Ooh, you know, I don't know. People still play 30K?
I don't know if anyone actually plays 30K, but a lot of people paint 30K.
There's so much stuff for it.
Yeah, there's a ton.
Yeah. Let's see. Steamforged Games share to win Resident Evil 2 contest going on now. That looks dumb.
It's the same guys who made the Dark Souls board game, so the Resident Evil 2 board game will probably be okay.
I guess. Bolt Action releases and pre-orders. No one's gonna care. Some guys, there's some people in the Chicagoland who are still like all about Bolt. Like that's their jam.
Hmm.
And I feel kind of bad for them about it. Like I love Bolt Action. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, come on, guys. There's a new 40K. Haven't you seen that yet? September releases available for Infinity. No, models are okay. Corvus Belli posts Aristia game preview. Oh, there was a game that I was looking at that I wanted to talk with you about, but I can't think of what it is. You mentioned it on Facebook as like being pre-order available for it. It looked pretty cool.
The Munchkin Collectible Card Game?
Yes, the Munchkin Collectible Card Game. That's exactly what I was talking about. That game will sell so much, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Just like that Monopoly, the Nintendo Monopoly you were talking about.
Yeah, there is going to be a ton of people buying the Munchkin Collectible Card Game.
Oh, my God. So my wife and my daughter, I come home the other day, they're playing Monopoly. It's Pokemon Monopoly. And I go up there, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then so as soon as I walk in the door, my daughter, like, landed on free parking. My wife's like, oh, you get the money that's in the center. I'm like, no,
that's not a rule.
I got really mad about it. I'm like, it's not a real game. That's not the game. Oh, they're the worst.
I said most people who play Monopoly aren't playing the game.
Tech Dust sci-fi skirmish game coming soon. Oh, man. Like, why? Renegade Games announces special signing event for Scott Pilgrim card game. That's about released about 10 years too late.
I actually hated that movie.
Yeah.
I fucking hated that. Like, I left the theater mad after seeing Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, I didn't think it was that bad. I actually liked the directing with it. I thought that the message was kind of shitty. But
Cry Havoc is the expansion. That's the most recent game I have on talking about pre-orders.
I don't think that was it. Because I definitely was not Cry Havoc.
Yeah, I don't know, bro.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. Nothing we're saying here really nothing even matters. Yeah.
Nothing matters. We're all going to die anyway.
Back in the 90s, I was on a TV show. Did you watch BoJack? Do you ever watch BoJack?
I have not. I've heard really good things about it.
It's fantastic, but I love the internet making fun of it because they call it Sad Horse Show.
It's the Sad Horse Show.
Yeah, they do like the four panel thing where it's like BoJack. you know, why are you not on TV anymore? And he go, I sad. And it's like him drinking a bottle of booze and then passed out. And then the final panel says, back in the 90s, I was sad. That's like the end credits song. So
that's
like,
funny.
I call it, we want to watch Sad Horse Show. Sad Horse Show. I went up again. Let's see. Yeah, I finally saw Baby Driver, by the way. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was a more frenetic version of Drive.
Yeah.
And
the music was well used. I didn't like it because I don't like music, but
yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, I thought the music was well used. I liked the characters. It's just that in Drive, you have Michelle Williams' character, who's like very fleshed out and very likable. And you have, I think it's Lily Taylor. No, not Lily Taylor. Whatever, the girl from Baby Driver, who you're like, this character is the worst written female character of all time.
It's true.
Plaid Hat Games post new stuffed Fables preview. That actually looks like it's going to be pretty good. It just looks like it's going to be a fun little game to play. It's probably going to get lost in the shuffle, but it looks like it's going to be decent. Privateer Press previews Signar Trencher Force box set. Poor Privateer Press. Trench strategy board game up on Kickstarter. Yeah, there's like nothing. I don't know what it is. I'm not liking anything. I don't know how you feel about anything.
There's some fat-ass fucking Death Guard models coming out.
Fat-ass fucking Death Guard. It's true, you do have your Death Guard
they
coming out.
They look sick as shit.
They just look exactly the same as all the other Death Guard.
Well, they look like the same aesthetically, but in compared to the models that have been released so far, they look way better.
It's like, how about this Death Guard guy? Let's give him a big flail that's got a sensor on it with smoke coming out of it. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it is good.
What else can we do with it? How about we have...
That is good.
How about we have a piece of armor that's rusting off? Oh, I like that.
That is good.
How about a big eye right in the center of his forehead? Oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you were just it's good.
That's every Death Guard model ever released, and more.
That's because the Death Guard have not had that many models released, because for the longest time, the only actual Death Guard kit was that old metal kit that had
with the knife and the bolter.
Yeah, like that had been the only Death Guard models
it's
for
so
years
bad.
And years and years. So now they finally have some good looking Death Guard models.
I agree. But once again, it's like. I'm looking at what Games Workshop's doing, and I'm like, oh, yes, Games Workshop is finally getting... Every time Games Workshop is almost, like, to that peak point of pure ejaculation, that they always pull it back right at the last minute.
The point of pure ejaculation.
Come and see, touch my pee,
and you'll see pure ejaculation.
Yeah, it's like they're like, all right, so we're going to release... the new edition of 40K, and everyone's like, oh, yeah. And they're like, nothing for the next 3 months except Primaris and Death Guard. And we're like, oh, well, okay. I guess.
Hover tank's pretty cool. Yeah, like, I think that's one of the rules, like, written in it. Like, if you don't go while you're moving it on the table, it explodes. It just explodes.
I think it looks like one of those old like the bottom part of an old stand-up vacuum. That's what I think it looks like.
Nice.
So, like, you just want to make that like a bag on the top. It's or for our British listeners, a Hoover. Yeah, I mean, it's like they're like nothing but Primaris and Death Guard. And honestly, I think 40K, the biggest problem with 40K is that they expanded it too rapidly in the last two editions. So now they have to nuke at least 50% of all of the models released. Just get rid of them. People will bitch and moan for about a year, and then they won't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, I think the next thing is the Adeptus Mechanicus, I believe, is the next release.
But I don't even think that they're releasing anything new for that. They're just releasing the book.
They're probably going to release, like, a new model.
Maybe, new model.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. They got to nuke, like, 75% of that shit just to get rid of it. I mean, Age of Sigmar's done a decent job of nuking a lot of the excess stuff. I mean, Bretonians are gone. Tomb Kings are gone. Yeah, there's still rules for them, but they're like, they're gone.
Yeah, those are to cater people who already had their armies.
Yes.
That's all it is.
And that's kind of what that's what 40K has, but it's like, you kind of got to nuke more of this. There's too many armies, and too many tanks, too many rules. Mm-hmm. You can't have a balanced game system with that much shit in it, because stuff is going to become unbalanced very quickly. I mean, what is it? Like the fucking guard have like 8 bajillion tanks at this point. Like, I was looking at
isn't the main difference between most of their tanks just the gun?
Yeah, but I mean, even still, it's like Yeah.
So it really should just be one entry with a lot of guns as the choices.
But not even that. Just nuke all the guns. Just make it back where it's just the Lemon Russ.
But
that's
I have my Lemon Russ Demolisher.
I don't know. Not your Demolisher. I don't want any of this stuff.
But I want my Lemon Russ Punisher.
Yeah, same thing with the Space Marines. It's like, you don't need all this stuff. Just nuke it. Just say, oh, that's a nice rhino you got there.
Well, it's a rhino, a predator.
I'm like, no, it's a rhino. It's like, just call them all rhinos. That's what you get. Rhinos only have this.
But what about the Hailstorm missile battery? And like, no, it's a
but
nice
you
rhino.
You have to understand about the Lemon Russ tank, though.
Which, actually.
But actually.
God. Oh, there's enough of those people online. Yeah, nuke it all. Nuke it all. Nuke all of like the flyers. You don't need all those flyers. They're all stupid. The rules are stupid. They're stupid looking. And all the Tau stuff is stupid looking, too. Get rid of all of it. All the Forge World stuff, just get rid of it all. You don't need that much.
Mm.
Bring back the squats.
Was that really just the whole thing? You were just going on just to try and get the squats back?
Maybe. They brought back Gene Stealer cults. They could bring back the squats. There's nothing that says they can't. But yeah,
I do think they retconned them being alive at some point.
They did in the new edition. They retconned them being alive. It's very interesting. That's why I'm not selling my squat army anytime soon. But yeah, the
Fabergé egg boys.
Fabergé eggs. But yeah, that's the same thing with Age of Sigmar. What they did was they were like, oh, you have all this cool stuff. We're going to release Fire Slayers. Ooh, yeah. We're going to release the Caradon Overlords. Ooh, yeah. And then they're like, nothing. And you're like, What about some Age of Sigmar stuff? You know, we're glad you got all the 40K stuff, but what about some Age of Sigmar? How about Blight War? Two special characters. Okay. Not super excited about that, but it's nice. It's a nice something or other. Now it's Firestorm, a campaign system. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, GW.
Well, they are one of the nice things about Age of Sigmar is they're releasing army books, like even with no new models. Like they released the...
There's nothing, though, lately.
Well, there was a huge... it's 40K's time now, because there was a huge wave of Sigmar army books. Like,
I mean,
a
like
ton of
Flesh
them.
Eater Court, Seraphon, those were re-releases.
And they had...
The Beast Claw Riders.
Beast Claw Raiders. Like, those dudes are... Like, there was no new models done for them. But they're a really good army.
Yeah.
I think the last book they did was the Caradon Overlords.
Yeah.
That was the most recent one.
But I'm just saying, like, out of all of, like, the old armies that were around, they've only done three updated books. Like the Beast Claw Raiders, whatever. Seraphon.
Pestilence.
Oh, Pestilence, too. That's the other one. And the fucking Flesh Eater Court, which is like the only undead, the only thing they've done for death. Like, and people are clamoring. They're like, just do something for death. Please. Yeah. But in Firestorm, they have like a new Death Alliance, but still, it's like everyone thought that they were going to be releasing undead pirates, and then they're like, nope. It's just a rule.
they did make the in the General's Compendium they made the Ghost Army playable though.
Ooh.
You could do all the what do they call them, the
Night Haunt, something like that. Yeah,
The Ghost. It's Malignance, I think maybe.
What does it matter?
The ghosts.
The ghosts.
Like, the Ghost Army is now actually playable.
All those armies,
which is pretty cool.
All of those things that they say like oh, these guys are the Swifthawk Riders, and you're like, no, they're bird people. This is the Order Serpentis or Order Draconis. No, the Dragon people.
Dragonmen.
It's like Seraphon. No, Lizardmen.
Lizard people.
Free people. Empire.
The Empire boys.
The Empire boys. Yeah, don't give me this shit. Like what was the other one? The vampire count one, whatever they're called, like the Night Haunt or something like that. No, vampires. Don't give me this shit.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. They should actually have parentheses after it for things like that, where they say like
malignants, parentheses, ghosts,
ghost boys, ghosties. Anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page /GameClassyPodcast. Where, you know, that's the best place to get in contact with us. The best way you can help out the podcast is to like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You can also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. We don't get any money off YouTube, so I don't really care. We don't get money off anything. If you want to give us money, you can. I don't really mind that. You can also listen to our sister podcast, Game Classy Podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about Nintendo.
You just said Game Classy Podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat B talk about the video games, usually about fighting games. And Steve yells at Pat for not playing RPGs. And Pat yells at Steve for not appreciating ColecoVision.
ColecoVision.
And then you also listen to Weebtown, where Steve and young Giuseppe talk about all things Japan, or Nippon, as I like to call it. So, Steve, until next time. Oh, actually, next time is going to be right around the Games Plus auction. So,
ooh.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, we'll probably record before the auction, so I won't be able to give it. But I'll take some pictures and put them up on the Facebook page. So, Steve, until next time.
You know what? You don't deserve this big Toblerone.
Game Classy.